Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, amen. So our gospel reading today from Luke 17, I've actually preached this text many times over the years. This text of the 10 lepers, not leopards, but lepers. Because it's the gospel reading actually each year in our lectionary for Thanksgiving Day. As we see that one leper who returns to Jesus falls on his face at Jesus' feet and gives thanks. And we're reminded that we're called to give thanks to God for what we have, especially the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Well, Pastor Eric's preaching on Thanksgiving Day this year, and he may change that text, he may not, I don't know. Either way, rather than talking about our Thanksgiving today, I simply want to talk about Christ's gifts today. For the text is not primarily about giving thanks, but it's about his restoration. So, I want to talk about restoration a little bit. What does restoration mean? I think we probably know that word, probably could define it pretty simply in our heads, but the dictionary says it's the action of returning something to a former owner or place or condition, bringing something back to its former position or condition. And today in our gospel reading from Luke 17, we get a story of restoration. Jesus is restoring, healing, saving. The passage begins, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers. So Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and in the Gospel of Luke, that's a significant phrase when we hear these words that he was on his way to Jerusalem. It's not just dealing with the direction in which Jesus is traveling or where he's going per se, like I was on the way to church this morning, passing, you know, from Calvine to Sheldon or something like that. But rather, when Luke reminds us that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, he's making a point, he's reminding us of why it is that Jesus came. When he's making a point about why Jesus was here and what he did for us. In Luke chapter 9, verse 51, we see this turning point in the gospel right after Jesus' transfiguration on that mountain. And it says that when the days drew near for him to be taken up, meaning his death, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. So Jesus had set his face toward the cross. He set his face toward his death for the sins of the world. He set his face toward our salvation, our restoration. And here in Luke 17, as he passes between Samaria and Galilee, he remains on his way to his final destination in this life, where he brings us from that final destination into life eternal. Again, this entire message is about Christ's restoration for us. And then we get these 10 lepers. And we won't spend too long on this horrible disease of leprosy, but it is the disease that you may know about. It causes severe sores on the skin and nerve damage and so on. It's this debilitating disease and caused a miserable life for those who were infected with it. But the physical disease was only part of the problem. Leprosy also caused a loss of community, as it took someone away from their family, away from their community, away from the synagogue and temple, away from worship. There's a whole chapter in Leviticus 13, that describes laws about leprosy and how they were determined to be unclean and how they could become clean again. And if they were pronounced as unclean, it says in verses 45 and 46 of Leviticus 13, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So they have this debilitating illness. They're contagious. They have been deemed unclean, can make others unclean, and they have to be excluded from family and friends, and from worship. What a miserable life. But there's something that I notice right away when I read Luke 17 and these 10 lepers that he encounters. What were they supposed to cry out again when people come by them? Yeah, they're supposed to cry out, unclean, unclean. But is that what they call out here in Luke 17? No. Rather than following the law, they cry out something completely different when Jesus comes by. They don't cry out that warning to stay away from them. They don't cry out, unclean, unclean, but rather they cry out a plea for help. They cry out, eleison, have mercy. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. What a cry of faith. It's a cry of desperation, of course, but it's a cry of faith. For though they should keep their distance and make sure that no one else gets infected, they take their chances with this Jesus that they've been hearing about, and they cry out for mercy. Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. This, by the way, is the reason that from ancient times and still today, that's what the church cries out. Kyrie eleison is part of our liturgy. Lord, have mercy. It's the song of the beggars, the destitute, the sick, crying, pleading for the mercy of our God. And we cry it out today, knowing that our God is compassionate, gracious, and merciful, and that he has had mercy on us. The lepers cried out that day in hopes of that very same thing. Have mercy on us. They're willing to disobey the law because they believe this Jesus can heal them, save them, restore them. And that's exactly what he does. With a word, with his command, he tells them to go. Go and show yourselves to the priest. And what does it say? It says, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. This is an important part of the story that I want to make sure we get because sometimes I think it gets lost in the shuffle. Verse 14 there said, as they went, they were cleansed. Meaning all of them, all 10 of them. Jesus is telling them to obey the law by going and showing themselves to the priest, who is the only one that can that could have deemed them clean and restored them to their community, to the family, and to worship according to the law. So we often focus on that one leper who returns, and rightfully so to some extent, but we might forget that all 10 were cleansed. All 10 are restored. The 9 did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They went and showed themselves to the priest, and presumably they were pronounced clean. They were restored to their families, restored to their communities, no longer living outside of the camp, restored to the people of God, worshiping together. But that 10th leper returns to Jesus, the one who has really made him clean. And he saw, it says that he saw that he was healed on his way, and he turns back to Jesus, recognizing the one who has truly made him clean, and he falls on his face, not trips, but falls on his face in worship. They all were cleansed. Presumably, they all were restored. But this one, this Samaritan, this foreigner, and maybe for that reason he didn't go and show himself to the priest, he comes, returns, gives thanks, worships Jesus. And I think about this passage and I think about us. If I can be a little, you know, allegorical with this passage, we're the 10 lepers. By that I mean humanity is the 10 lepers. We are infected with this nasty disease called sin. This sin has put us outside of the camp. By that I mean that it has expelled us from the Garden of Eden and, more to the point, outside of a relationship with God, separating us from him. And if that wasn't bad enough, this disease called sin doesn't just stop with separating us from God, but it does damage in all kinds of areas in our lives. It damages our families, destroys relationships. It damages and destroys communities. It creates outcasts and marginalized in communities. It causes division, bloodshed, war, and so on. Now, the lepers, I'm not saying that the lepers in this passage had leprosy because of their particular sin, but their leprosy is the result of sin in the world, the sinful fallen world that we live in and the sinful state that we live in that we all still deal with. But we're reminded that Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Jesus came into this world to atone for sins, to restore us. He came to set his face to Jerusalem, his face to the cross, to cleanse us who were once unclean, tainted, stained by our sins, and restore us to him by taking our uncleanliness upon himself and atoning for it through his death on the cross. And Jesus on the cross pronounces man clean. He atones for all of our sins. And he does it, by the way, on the cross. Jesus atoned for the sins of the whole world. He pronounced all the world clean through his death and resurrection. He paid the price for all sins of everyone. But of course, not everyone will recognize it. Not everyone will turn back from their wicked ways and fall on their face and worship him. Not everyone will have faith in the restoration that he has given to us through his death and resurrection. Instead, we continue on with our lives. But God willing, as Christians, as you sitting here today, we are that Samaritan. We are the beggar who needs cleansing, receives cleansing, who was once an outcast, separated from God and from the people of God, but now restored, now cleansed, now saved. Those words, by the way, at the end of that passage there, when Jesus says to Samaritan leper, when he says, rise and go, your faith has made you well. It could easily be translated, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. Our hope and trust is in his restoration. He is where the promise of salvation is found. He has atoned for the sins of the whole world. The question is, do you believe this? Do you trust in this? Do you recognize that this restoration was for you, that it comes from Jesus and is for you? For Jesus is the one who restores, regenerates, gives life. Jesus saves. And that message, this message of restoration, this message of salvation, it's not just a message for us here in the pews, us here who believe, but for the nine that are still out there as well, who he also died to save, who he also paid the price for. Those who have had their sins atoned for, but have not yet had faith in him and received the full benefits of his restoration. We live in a world still corrupt with sin. We ourselves still struggle with it daily. But we know where our help, our hope, our salvation is found. But the world is still corrupt with sin. And not only that, but the world still reels from the ramifications of sin, brokenness, sickness, and disease, things that make them marginalized and outcast in their homes and in society, things that make people foreigners and aliens wherever they're at. You can bet that the Samaritan leper, after he fell on his face and worshiped Jesus, you could bet that he probably didn't keep his mouth shut. We see this, you know, in the scriptures. As Jesus heals people, often he'll tell them to, you know, not tell anyone, to keep quiet. And more than one occasion, we see them leave and go tell everybody about this wonderful thing that he has done for them. So you could bet that this leper that was cleansed didn't keep his mouth shut, but probably went and told everyone. Well, we have, not only were we, if you will, once lepers, outcast, unclean, made clean, restored in Christ, but we have the marginalized, the outcast, the sick, the homeless, the foreigner, the sinner all around us. And as those who have been restored, who know the graciousness of God in Christ Jesus, who have been reconciled to God in Christ, are we keeping our mouths shut Are we bringing that restoration, that reconciliation, that mercy and love, that salvation to those who need it? I'm reminded in this story and in other passages as well that Jesus wasn't afraid to get dirty. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus cleanses another leper. In this passage in 17, he tells them just to go, and they go, and they're cleansed on their way. But in Luke chapter 5, it says that he actually touched the leper. He touched the leper. He wasn't afraid of his uncleanliness. In fact, Jesus' cleanliness trades places with the leper's uncleanliness. Jesus became sin, unclean, so that we might become righteous, holy, clean. But Jesus isn't afraid to get dirty. And as those who were once dirty, that is us, and have been declared clean in Christ, we shouldn't be afraid to get dirty either. Instead, we will, as we live in this world full of marginalized people all around us, and I'll let you fill in the blank on who that is in your minds. Do we just rejoice in our cleanliness, or do we have compassion on them like Christ had compassion on us? Do we share with them the restoration that comes from Him and from Him alone? Because we too were once dead in our trespasses and sins. We too were once outcasts outside the camp and have been restored. And we have this message of restoration, this message of forgiveness, life, and salvation, this message of reconciliation. And with that, I want to end with some words from St. Paul that I think hopefully will help us understand our calling here as those who have been restored. It's from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16, and it says, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As those who were once unclean and have now been made clean, we now are called as ambassadors of Christ, messengers of reconciliation, proclaiming this restoration, this healing, this salvation to all other fellow beggars out there in the world, all others who need to know who Jesus is and what he has done for them, who need to know this restoration in his name. So let us be ambassadors for Christ. Amen.